Okay, we're ready. Seth Barker from the Maine Division of Marine Resources is going to talk to us about Maine.
I'm also one that doesn't really like to stand behind the podium, so I'll kind of wander around out here. Maine has had a program fairly systematically mapping eelgrass beds for almost two decades now, and the systematically meaning different portions of the coast have been mapped first in the 1990s and now again in this decade. So I'm a ways from finishing up. Have two or three more years of work to finish up the second round, and so I'm just going to report a comparison between those areas that have been photo interpreted based on 1990s photography in 2000s. There is a lot of historic photography for specific locations, and we've taken a look at a few locations along the coast. One of them, Cotton Bay. Steve Perrin's here, and we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in Cotton Bay, which is just west of Ellsworth. And the other thing I'd like to comment on is that I think there's a common theme in terms of technology here and how the interpretation is done, but there is a wide range of differences. And in Maine, through this time period, 90s to 2000, there's been a progression of technology. Some of the first work that I've included here is on the Fred Short bid, 1992. 1993, I started in a number of locations in Maine. I went down and actually spoke with Fred, and he gave that, you know, very synoptic introduction. Well, this is a good way to approach it. And periodically, there's been adjustments to the approach technology. Charlie Costello has been a good source to check in with every once in a while, just as far as technology goes. So I think the bottom line is there's a shift in how interpretation has been done. So there's some factoring that needs to be done in terms of what's reported here. The significance of eelgrass has not been lost on Maine state agencies. There's at least five state agencies that have contributed funding to this along with NOAA. There's been consistent attention given to keeping this work going, but it hasn't necessarily been a continually funded project. Some of that's going to be reflected in the years in terms of comparisons. So I don't have a straight 10-year comparison between 90s and 2000. I basically have had to go where the funding was available and do that work there. There was some earlier work that is done based on 60s photography. It's something in called our Coastal Marine Geologic Environment Maps. I've looked at some of that work, but I'm not presenting that here. It's going to take, in my opinion, quite a bit of work in terms of reviewing the interpretations and also separating out where, because in these geologic environment maps is over 50 categories of substrates and biologic environments, habitats, when something is called eelgrass and when something is interpreted or assigned to a different category. So anyways, there's more work to be done on the from the point of view of some of the earlier interpretations. The main coast, I'm going to focus on these areas that are delineated. I'm going backwards. So, I'm all set.
So we'll see more of that.
I'm going to focus on where there is coverage for two decades, Saco Bay up to Penobscot Bay. I'll work from the west to the east, and this is quite a story. In terms of change in hectares, you can see the majority of loss in Upper Penobscot Bay. These figures are an oversimplification. It's a summary of obviously a lot of interpretation. What I'll show, and I'll go through these fairly rapidly, graphically, where it says gain in orange, gain is newly interpreted beds, loss, obviously, no longer there, and green, no change, are areas that the beds are in the same position, if not the same density, as they were a decade or so ago. So the numbers are up here. 1995 in Saco Bay, it's delineated here in that bounding box, compared to 2001-2002, an increase. You can see areas of increase here, loss down near the mouth of the Saco River. Casco Bay, very definite increase. But there's an area from Broad Cove up through the top of Cousins Island, around Goose Island in here, very definite loss. This is contrast to McCoit Bay. Fred showed you some pictures of McCoit Bay, where very definite gain, and also Middle Bay. So in close proximity, both areas of loss. This is Broad Sound, one of the circulation channels, areas of loss, contrast, areas of gain. There's two areas shown here. The bounding box comes down around this area right here. This is the Kennebec River down through here. This is New Meadows River. Kennebec is obviously a native drainage. New Meadows is a very minor drainage. But a slight increase. Much of that increase was up in New Meadows. Very hard to see these polygons. These are very shallow areas and very narrow beds, very narrow features. So mid-coast area, definitely a gain. I'm going to fast forward to I'm going to fast back. Muskungus Bay. Again, up here, very shallow area with some gain. This is the lower end of Penobscot Bay. I'm glad Ron Huber's here. Ron's put a lot of work into Penobscot Bay. And the thing to look at here is out in the islands, Vinyl Haven, it looks like persistent eelgrass beds, some large areas of loss. But once you start getting up into the bay, North Haven, Rockland Harbor, and very definitely, this is work that the area that Fred Short did, all the way up through the bay, Islesboro is a very shallow area, a major loss. So, you look at that entire area, there's essentially no net loss, 5,000 plus hectares in that entire area of the main coast. Compare the two decades, no net loss. Penobscot Bay is very definitely a problem. That's it.
Thank you.